okay? Bread. There is the temptation of Jesus to turn stone into bread at the very beginning. There is the Lord's Prayer, in which we are asked to be given our daily bread. There is the story of Jesus saying, if a child asks for bread, will you give him a stone? The prodigal son, while in a far-off country, thinks of his father's bread and knows that there is plenty there. We know about the multiplication of loaves, with feeding the thousands with bread and with fish. But we're at bread now. And of course we know that Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. In Luke's gospel, there's an additional bread story, the one from today. This one we hear about how Jesus is made known in the breaking of the bread. How those walking to Emmaus met a stranger. The stranger joined them and learned in the breaking of the bread that the stranger was Jesus. They were able to recognize him. And then on into the Acts of the Apostles. We learn that when the believers join together, they devote themselves to the teachings of the apostles, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And again, day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home, we hear, and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. And then later on, Paul asked the church in Corinth, the bread that we break, is it not a sharing of the body of Christ? And reminds us, there is one bread. Which, of course, made me immediately start singing, one bread, one body, so that we sing here a lot and that we love. So the bread is very important, and the bread at table. It's not just the handing out of bread anywhere. It is the bread at table when we are gathered together at table. So what is table fellowship to us? What is the breaking of bread to us? As the apostles and the early believers knew, they had to take it seriously. It was central somehow, because they knew that something happened when the bread was broken. Something happened that reminded them that they were in the presence of Christ and that he dwelled among them. Something happened so that they could recognize him there among them, with them. How does that happen? How exactly does that happen? What is it? This is what I was stuck on all week. I'm like, what is it in that moment of the breaking of the bread that allows Cleopas and his friend to recognize Jesus? Why is it that moment and not another moment? Why in that moment? How can this happen for us and among us in a community? So before I answer that, think about this. How important are our meals to us in our relationships, our meals? How does breaking bread function in our lives? Think about that for a moment. As social creatures that we are, we use meals and our time around table to strengthen our bonds, to learn norms. You'll remember that as a child, likely. To learn norms, to establish trust, which is critical, to court mates. There's a reason that we go on dates and we eat together, right? To win others over and to build alliances. All of these things we do, as other social creatures do. They bring one another food. It's very intimate, right? They bring one another food, they eat together. We do this all the time. The meals and breaking bread are also part of human ritual, celebration and sorrow. They're all mixed in there. We attend a wedding and then we eat, right? We attend a funeral and then we eat. We attend a funeral, we attend a wedding. The meal follows as a closer. It's a closer to the ritual. Now, for some of you, we graduate and then we eat. And you will, you will. We don't eat a meal and then get married. Isn't that odd if you think about it? We don't do that. We don't celebrate and eat first and then carry out the ritual. The eating is part of the closure. Table fellowship is sharing something, something critical, whether it's joy or grief or daily building of the bonds between us. However, unlike other social creatures, human beings also use table fellowship to exert power and attain status. And there's lots of stories about that in the Gospels too. Think, if you will, for a moment, of junior high school cafeteria. Think of the lunchroom. If you have any doubt about the use of table fellowship to establish status, for inclusion and exclusion, we are so adept at it, and we learn it early on. In fact, eating together can cause tremendous anxiety, depending on who is there, right? Even now, as adults, who is there, what is being discussed. Think about Thanksgiving after the 2016 election. We heard a lot about that, right? What is being discussed? How much alcohol is present? Am I right? How much alcohol is present? We've all experienced that as well. Further, eating among strangers is hard. But eating among some relatives can be even harder. So why is this so important to us and so powerful? Why is it at the center here of human ritual and human engagement and human social bonding? Why so important to the disciples and to the church now? The bottom line is this: eating makes us vulnerable. It makes us vulnerable. Now, you may not think so. You may think, what? I'm not vulnerable when I'm eating. But think about this. As social creatures, we eat as a pack. We cannot eat and fight at the same time. We cannot eat and run at the same time. In fact, if you watch many social creatures, there will always be one watching out while the others eat. Because we are vulnerable in that moment. In order to enter into a meal, we must lower our defenses. Literally. Think how hard it has been for you to eat at a meal where at the table is someone who you feel threatened by. You know that feeling when it just stops? This is a place in which we become vulnerable. And it's in our shared vulnerability that the most profound bonds are formed and strengthened. I can guarantee that all of us have a memory somewhere, sometime, of a profoundly important meal. Profoundly important meal. Either one that was filled with joy or one that was torn apart by disaster. I'm sure all of us know of those meals. Some of the greatest joy we know with one another is when we eat together. If I think about some of the times I've been the most joyful, as I was thinking about seminary this past week, when I was in seminary, which was quite some time ago, I remember eating together. Sometimes better than I remember the classroom. I remember eating together because of the things that happened in that space. That shared vulnerability and that open space. And there's a reason that people eat with their friends. Because they feel safe. Period. Because they feel safe. It may not even be conscious. Think of the relief you feel standing with your tray at a conference or other gathering when you look around a room and you see someone you know. And beeline, even if you've only talked to them once, you're like, oh, hey. I remember you. You find a place where you feel safe. So here are the disciples extending hospitality to a stranger, and in that moment of vulnerability, in that place, in that vulnerable moment, they meet Jesus and they recognize him. There's something that happens because they are vulnerable. Now, what does that mean for the community now, or what does it mean for us now? The disciples knew that table fellowship was absolutely essential for the gathered community. Essential. It was part of their life together. It also became a place where status, again, played a role, and they had to address that. But it was a place that was essential. And I want to make the claim that it should be essential for us. It should be essential. Now, wherever we serve, wherever we are, table fellowship somehow must play a role in building community. Because a gathering of disciples can create an intentional, unique, and sacred space where Jesus can become known. Where Jesus can become known. Because he only, and I really believe this, only becomes known when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. When we allow ourselves to release our defenses and enter into a space of vulnerability. But for us, that requires something that is very, very hard for human beings: to eat with strangers. And to transform that relationship then into something more than a stranger. But remember that the table fellowship in our church, in our religious life, is different from the world. We are not, although you may have experienced it this way, the church is not the high school cafeteria. We know that that happens, right? We know that happens. The church is not the high school cafeteria. The church is a place where the table is different. The table is open. The table is a place of safety. Must be. It's meant to be different. Now, I want to give you just a quick example to end this of where I saw this happen recently. And I have to confess, I was completely taken aback because I know that I would not have done this. I'll confess right now, I would not have done this. I was at a very large church meeting. It was a meeting of church leaders, people way up in the hierarchy. They were all there. We'd been having this very intensive meeting. Well, just before lunch, this group had been meeting, and these are all people in the denominational judicatories. They're all very high-level people. And they were having the most intense, conflictual conversation, to the point of tears and raising voices and yelling at one another, and it was largely due to one individual. I'm going to call him Joe from Missouri. There's nothing against Missouri because I used to live there, so that's okay. But Joe from Missouri was speaking in such a way that was so highly offensive to so many people in the room that the place just became a tinderbox. The meeting ended. Enormous frustration and upset and so forth. Well, my friend who was part of this group did something that I would not have done. He invited Joe to eat with him at lunch. Now, I want us to be honest about this. Normally, what would happen in this situation? If we're truly honest with ourselves, what would happen? We'd go to lunch, we'd likely sit with our friends, and we'd likely talk about what happened in the meeting, right? We might even, if we're really honest, talk about Joe, right? And I will tell you that the table where John sat with Joe was not full, because only two other people joined them. And there were those who were angry at John because he had invited Joe to eat with him. But what I saw in this was a very small gesture with enormous implications, because these were gathered disciples working together. These disciples, those who were gathered at that table, committed to the life which we are called, that is to be agents of peace and reconciliation. In the here and now, at the table, with the people next to us. It doesn't mean that they didn't talk through what happened. It didn't mean that there weren't calls to accountability and responses and so forth. But it was that action, that demonstrated how the church is to be different in the world. is to create a place where peace, reconciliation become possible because we are there in a spirit of vulnerability because we are all believers. That is what I saw. Something happens in that time of vulnerability around the table. It happens at this table, yes, but it also happens, perhaps even more profoundly, around a table with a meal where we are truly vulnerable to one another around the table. So I'm left asking myself, how then might we be able to see and recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread somehow, now, at our own tables, as disciples, in our own churches, or tables we set up on the street, or tables we set up at home? After all, the post-resurrection Jesus said one thing very clearly, "Feed my sheep." Amen.